Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome everyone to another night in the Red Room. This is your host, Shelly L. Brooks, along with our co-hosts, Samaj Brandon, Latoya Carter Q, Ashley G, and we do have a special guest tonight. I want to start the show with a song, and I just want us to take a few minutes to just listen to this song because I think it is so powerful and part of our message for tonight. And I think anybody and everyone, if you've never heard this song before, you'll still understand the message. So I just want to start with this.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
I think that song is just so powerful for our message tonight because the lyrics speaks what I think most of us are thinking and what we're feeling. And the biggest question we're asking is what's going on? And the topic of the show tonight is, are we experiencing civil rights part two in 2020? And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to discuss the confusion, the hurt, the anger that we're all feeling during this place where we are now. And I don't even know what to call the place that we are now, but what I know we can do is find a way to educate and support the move towards economical, social, and racial change for our future. We have to. We have to find the answers. We have to find the solutions, and we have to find a better way. So I just want to start with letting everyone know that I'm fully aware that we all have feelings. And instead of us doing a round table of, you know, how are you doing? We're not doing well. And I know that. And anyone who says that they are doing great, they're doing well, they're disconnected. And I'll say that. And if I'm wrong, then I'll be wrong for that. So I just want to, you know, kind of open it up for our co-host before we open up the lines to any of our callers or before our special guest arrives with us tonight. What are you feeling? And just honestly, just what are you feeling? Samaj, let's start with you.
Hey, everybody. So I honestly feel I'm kind of mixed emotions. Everyone knows that I'm always that neutral mind frame person on the show. But just generally in life, I honestly feel like all of this doesn't make sense. And because none of it makes sense, people are doing more things to just add to the nonsense. And that's just how I feel about it, me personally. There's better ways to handle all of this. There's better ways to get your point across. And I made a post about it the other day. I don't know if you know if many of you saw it, but I've been thinking about it for like the last couple of weeks. And it was simply the phrase of, you know, if we were to live in a world uncovered, how much courage would these people really have? And when I say the word uncovered, I mean in a naked world. If the world were completely naked, people wouldn't be doing all this because they would be too ashamed of their body to go out and do this in front of people or to hurt someone else. So why are we doing this now? If we don't want it done to us, then why are we doing these things? That's how I feel about it.
That was pretty powerful. Very, very powerful. And you know what's interesting, Samaj, is you said that you didn't really know how to feel about it or that you're kind of like neutral. And I think that's the one thing that that people need to understand and know. It's okay to be confused about how you feel. It's okay to even be uncomfortable with how you feel. But you feel something, and that's what's important. Because we can't make change, until we feel something. So I totally understand your place and where you are. And I think it's a place of helping other people who are where you are understand and help guide them through a process of us getting to a different place. Toya, how do you feel? What are you feeling right now?
Hello. I'm an empath. So I am totally overwhelmed by my feelings. I feel everybody's energy. I feel everybody's emotions. I feel everybody's pain. So I've been trying to just quiet my spirit and quiet my emotions. I'm angry because in this day and age, we should not still have to be going through the things that we go through. Justice needs to be served, and we need to make sure once and for all that, you know, there's a level playing field. People just can't continue to get away with murder. And it seems within the last few weeks, I think this was just the straw that broke the camel's back. Because there have been so many of these incidents that, I mean, right now everyone's saying justice for George, but, I mean, how many times have we said justice for George, justice for Trayvon, justice for Eric, justice for Brianna, justice for Chandra? I mean, the list goes on and on. So I think people now are just tired. I hear so many people say that they're tired. And I'm tired, too. I also feel a sense of I won't say happiness, but I feel a sense of pride and proud that there are so many people who are protesting and peacefully protesting. And it's a lot of our younger people, college and high school students. I mean, you have people of all ages, all demographics. So I think, too, that this is working to bring some sort of unity. I've heard a lot more outcry from Caucasians. A lot of them are starting to make some realizations. And it's the ones who, because they aren't, you know, people of color, because they haven't had these encounters, that they were just ignorant of it. They were unaware. And now that it's coming to a forefront and they're learning the whole background and they're actually wanting information and wanting to help make that change. And I think this is kind of what is making this movement a little bit different. But then I thought back, and historically it's always been with the help of, you know, people from, let's just keep it real, white people, that you know, black people have been able to get that justice. I mean, when we think about slavery times, I mean, it was white people who, you know, helped facilitate the Underground Railroad. When we think about, you know, the civil rights time, it was, you know, other white people who stepped up and who rode the buses and, you know, who protested and they helped support us. And even now, I mean, just last night, there were people in Georgetown who had to open their houses up to the protesters who were protesting peacefully because the police were throwing tear gas and rubber bullets and different things at them. So I think there's more of a consciousness about what's going on. I'm also pissed off because people are using tragedy as an opportunistic time. And I'm referring to those who aren't protesting, but those who are actually rioting, destroying property, looting and stealing. That's not being productive. That's being counterproductive. And I'm mad because whenever it's portrayed, it's always portrayed as black thugs, quote unquote, who are doing it. When it's just as many white people out there looting and stealing and mm-hmm. and doing things as the blacks. So for all of those who are using this tragedy as a come up or opportunity to commit crimes, that just pisses me off. And I've mainly been praying. I've been in deep, deep prayer for our country, for our leaders, for our enemies, and just that God, you know, just intervened. But I know a lot of people have been saying and using the Bible verse from like 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if you'll turn from your wicked ways and cry out to me, I'll heal the land. And that was used when, you know, the pandemic and corona and COVID came about. But I think that God wants to heal us, but he wants it to be a deeper healing. I think he wants to not only heal, you know, the physical illness, but also the social and emotional and mental illnesses that, you know, gripping the nation and the world, and more specifically our country. So I think this is part of that healing process.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up in so many different ways. And we're all feeling just like a combination of all the emotions that you described. And I like mm-hmm. to hear what everyone is feeling. What I want to do now is, Samaj, if you could open up the line to our special guest. I'm going to let our co-host, Ashley G., do the introduction. This is, we know that that he has limited time, so I want to give her an opportunity to introduce our special guest.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for all joining us tonight in the Red Room. We are absolutely honored to have a very, very powerful voice join us tonight and give us some insight on what's really going on out there, you know, beyond what we see on social media. We are so privileged and blessed to have Mr. Curtis Hayes join us tonight. And for those of you who are listening, this gentleman, this young community activist, has been trending all around social media with a viral video that has such an underlying powerful message. And we would like to welcome Mr. Curtis Hayes to the Red Room tonight. Curtis, you are unmuted. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you just coming to spend a couple minutes with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So, Curtis, can you just tell us, to all who is listening, hopefully everyone got a chance to see this video, but for those who have not, if you could just briefly give us an overview of the message, the power in that message that you shared in that video.
Yeah, the message, first off, good evening, everyone. I hope everybody is well, blessed, and staying safe. Again, thank you, Ashley and Ms. Brooks, for having me. The message that I was trying to portray, or no, the message that I did portray, was everybody needs to stop at that moment and really look at who's out here fighting. I think that the message I got across, and I think that, you know, what my white peers are hitting off of is, damn, it is three generations from a 45-year-old black man to a 31-year-old black man all the way down to a 16-year-old black man out here protesting and walking and marching and shouting and yelling for the same thing that three other generations before me, three other generations before that. And my challenge to everyone was, when is enough going to be enough?
Curtis, I saw the video. I've seen I saw the face of that young man. I saw the faces of the two generations that you were speaking to. And the emotion that I felt from it, I know millions of people felt the same. But the question that I want to ask you is, deep in your soul, what was the emotion that you were feeling when you were standing there with both of them?
Oh, man. I mean, the emotion was, as I was looking at this 16-year-old black man, like, dang, like I was him. And I wasn't thinking about marching and protesting and trying to tell people not to take my life. I was worried about girls and what I was going to wear the next day and making sure my mama didn't find out I was failing in math, you know, like those are the things that I was thinking about. But then I turned to this 45-year-old man and was like, damn, like I'm going to be there in 14 years. That's not far from now, 14 years. And the emotion behind that was, is my young black brother who is 16, why is he out here fighting for this when other 16-year-old boys, and when I say other 16-year-old boys, I'm talking about young white boys, they over there, why, in their go-karts, driving, going to meet their girlfriends, going to them, or whatever the case may be. But you have this young black man that is out here putting his life in danger for a cause. And it hurt me. It caused more anger. Because I'm like, our people should not have to keep fighting this fight. We've been fighting it for 400 years. We've been on the front line for 100 years, probably more than that. And I guess it was, why do we have to continue? Why do we have to be on the front line? It's time for somebody else to take over.
And I think that you expressing the emotions that you had, I mean, anyone who saw that video could clearly see you had true emotion. But I think a lot of times when people out there that are activists like you are, that care for your community, that your whole being is about helping other people, we get lost in the emotions of the person that's helping. So I really appreciate you sharing that. And I know it might have been kind of like a personal question, but I think I needed people to understand that the impact that you had on the community, you had feelings too. And a lot of us, we put so much of what we put ourselves into, but we sometimes don't understand the emotions that come from the person that's the giver. So I appreciate you sharing. Does anyone have a question that they would like to ask Curtis? I know he's been asked a million questions over the last few days. So does anyone else have a question that they'd like to ask Mr. Curtis Hayes?
Well, I would like to start off with the question to you, Mr. Hayes, in relation to tonight's topic, which is, are we entering into a civil rights movement part two? And what are your views on that? Do you believe that this movement, what's going on right now, the times that we are in, do you believe in your heart and with your movement that this is going to be a part two of the civil rights movement?
When you ask me that question, that's... When you say the second phase of the civil rights movement, are you saying in the aspect of change as far as in the legal aspect? Are you talking about like a civil war as far as war between individuals on U.S. soil? Like which direction are you going with that?
No. Definitely not in the aspect of war. Most definitely not.
Okay. All right, cool. So. Definitely. I think what's happening now is a dialogue is there where both parties can relate. I think with my message and other people's messages that has been protesting recently has got a message to those individuals that was afraid to step up before and confront their peers for the social injustice or the wrongdoing or the police brutality. So I think that this phase, with everybody pushing how they're pushing, and with me, how I'm going to push is I'm going to push in the reform of police departments. Because when you think about the guy that killed George Floyd, he had 15 complaints. There has to be some type of police reform for that. So when we talk about the second civil phase, yes, I do believe, because I do believe that a major change is about to come.
Okay. Excellent.
And I totally agree with you, Curtis, because I think one of the things that we have been focusing on is how to change certain things. And we have to look at where the source of a lot of this injustice is coming from. And it is not just to say the police department, but I think we have to look at that and say there is a major problem there, and a huge major problem. So
yes,
I want to say I thank you so much for everything that you're doing in our communities, and especially now it is in our communities across the country, because
yes,
people have been enlightened and they know and understand that the anger that they have, you can do something different with it. And what you did for that 46-year-old man or 47-year-old man you showed him that the anger that you have, you can do something else with it. The 16-year-old, you showed him there's something else that you can do with it. And you basically kind of changed the direction of how we can be angry, but we don't have to act out in anger. And
correct.
That's huge.
It's a difference. You're right. It's, you know, I had to tell the young man, the 16-year-old man, you know, I had to really break some stuff down. I said, there's a difference in operating under rage and anger. When you're angry, you can speak, and you can speak with conviction. You speak with intellect, and you speak with a fire that's in your heart to deliver your message. When you operate in rage, you see none of that. So, yes, you're right, Ms. Brooks.
That's so huge. But I think it's like the topic for the show is explaining that we have to find a way to educate and to show that there's a different way. And education is key, because you have to be able to show people that this is the direction that we can take. If you don't know how, we can show you. And we have to stop saying, I know how, but I'm not going to show you. I'm not going to teach you. I'm not going to educate you. It's about educating each other. And it comes from so many different levels. It's emotionally, because right now I think everybody is so emotional, but we also have to take a look at, you know, the economic education that we can share with our Black people. We have to show people how to change what we want to change, but do it in a way that we are now knowledgeable and creating that change. We're not just flying by the seat of our pants, coming up with some random idea today. And it's about, I think it's about time. I mean, this was a long time coming. I think a lot of people will agree that this, what is happening right now, is a long time coming. I saw a video earlier today that there are people in New Zealand. The streets are crowded in New Zealand. And there are people in New Zealand carrying signs that say Black Lives Matter. That's huge.
Yeah. It's really the whole world, Ms. Brooks. Everybody. The whole world right now is supporting the new movement. Everybody.
And I think that's the reason why I titled the show, Is This the Civil Rights Movement Part 2 in 2020? Because this is a new era of fighting for civil rights. There's been so many advances, but we're still so far behind. So I think at this point, the part 2 of it all is fighting for what we have behind. Does anyone else, I know that Mr. Hayes is limited with his time on the show with us tonight, so I just want to reach out and find out if anyone else has any questions, if they have anything that they want to say to him. Samaj, we can take a look and see if there is anyone, even of our co-hosts. I mean, I just think I really want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show with us tonight. This is really, really huge for us, and it's totally an honor. So does anyone have any questions or anything that they would like to ask Mr. Hayes?
Definitely. Thank you for your time, Curtis. I'm sorry, Mr. Hayes. When I saw the video, it was funny to me in the sense of I literally the day before had the same mind frame and the same thoughts running through my head that you expressed in those videos that went viral. And so for me to see that the next morning after I had that thought and to see that someone else feels the same way that I do validated that my thought, it makes perfect sense to me and those who think like me as well as yourself. So thank you for being out there and expressing what I feel is the right way to handle this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your kind words and your continued support, man. But you got to get out there and share your message. If you had it the day before, that means you should have said it that day. Don't
yes,
be scared
sir.
To share your thoughts. You know what I mean? We could. It's easy for us to get scared to share what we really want to say because of the backlash that we feel that we're going to receive. I'm not scared. I'm not saying you are, so don't take it as such. All I'm telling you.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Speak. When you feel like you need to speak, speak. Because it's needed. We got to get out there more. It's up to our generation right now, because you kind of sound like you're saying in the same age as me, right?
I'm 31.
It's up to us. Oh, so there you go. So we got to get
out
there. All right, then. So you already know what's up. Thank you for your kind words, my brother.
Most certainly.
All right, Mr. Hayes, thank you so much for joining us tonight. If you can stick around, we will be honored to have your commentary on any of these topics tonight. But thank you once again. Your line will be unmuted if you continue to join in on tonight's dialogue. But we thank you so much for calling in and just sharing a couple minutes with us. We're truly grateful.
No problem. And everybody continue to follow me. If you guys don't mind me plugging in my social media.
Yes,
please
tell
do.
Tell us about how to find you on social media.
All right, cool. Find me on social media. My Facebook is Curtis Hayes. I think it might be two pages up there, but I'm the one. I'm in a blue suit. And then also follow me on Instagram as well. Let me get to that. It's Curtis_HayesNC. Again, that's Curtis_HayesNC. Guys, we're doing some major things. So if you, my peers, have anything that as you guys watch and support me, if I'm ever out of character, if I ever get away from the message, check me. That is another movement that I am moved. We got to check one another. We have to check individuals that's not for the movement or that is not for us or for change, period. So I'm telling y'all to check me if y'all don't feel like I'm getting the message across. And if you have anything that you feel as though I need to say, if you feel as though there's something that you feel like I need to share, please get in contact with me. I'm a very personable person. Yeah, I am receiving thousands of messages and stuff. But just let me know who you are. I promise you I will reply to you. We will have dialogue. But I thank y'all so much for y'all's continued support. Check me out. Follow me tomorrow as I am on Good Morning America at 8:30.
Oh, wow.
Thank y'all. I love y'all. We know who you are. Know you have value. Know you are a black man and a black woman in America. And, yes, it is tough, but you have the power and you have the fire in your heart that you know. Use it. And speak with conviction. And together, I promise you, we will make a better way, y'all. I promise you.
Those are words of comfort, Curtis, and I thank you so much. Thank you for sharing. We are actually going to, not we, but Samaj is, going to make sure tomorrow on the Red Room Radio page, on our Facebook page, on our Instagram page, that we post your contact information and that also Good Morning America information for your show tomorrow. It has truly been an honor. We thank you so much. And again, as Ashley G said, your mic will be unmuted if you still would like to stay with us. I know you have some other things to do this evening, but I really and truly thank you for joining us in the Red Room.
Thank y'all. I'll stick around for a few minutes. And if anybody thinks of any questions before I get off, I'll probably get off about 8:45. But Ms. Brooks, I am humble. I'm grateful. I'm thankful to be able to use your platform. Thank you. Y'all have a good night.
You're welcome. You do the same. Woo. I mean, I'm just saying this has been truly, truly powerful to hear his message, you know, kind of like face to face with us. And if you saw the photo, it was truly touching. If you saw the video, it was definitely touching. And you can see them both on his page, on his Facebook page. I've shared it on my page as well. Samaj is going to share all of that on the Red Room Radio page. So we're again thankful that he was able to join us. Do we have anyone in the red room tonight that is that has something that they want to say? Press 1 on your phone and we will unmute your line so that you can speak. Our topic tonight is this, I mean, I it's a question that I'm not even sure if it's a valid question, because we are in a movement, and I don't even know if we should call it a civil rights movement, but it's a civil something movement. And it's sad that we have to say rights, but the topic is this civil right? Is this a civil rights movement part two in 2020? I just want to open up the lines and see if anyone has anything else that they want to share. If you want to press one on your phone and you will have an opportunity to speak. If not, we're going to move on to the next phase. And I want Ashley G to kind of give an account of what she saw as what has occurred in the DC area. A lot of us are disconnected from what we see outside of the news. And she has been up close and seen some of the things that have happened. And I just want to give her an opportunity to share what she's experienced.
So I currently live in Arlington, Virginia, which is about 7 minutes away from the National Mall, you know, all of the tourist attractions downtown. And I'm somebody who honestly frequents these areas quite often. And it was Friday night, took a drive into the city, which is something I normally do. And it was, guys, the feeling of D.C. right now is so corrupt and unsettling and uneasy. I mean, the minute you enter into downtown D.C., you can literally feel that there is something wrong. And I had not been watching the news. I had no idea that people were protesting, that people were lighting things on fire in front of the White House. I had no idea about any of this. And it wasn't until I went downtown to take a walk, something that I normally do, you know, just on a random night, and to see people out protesting, unpeacefully protesting, in the middle of the street, and of the nation's capital, I was absolutely hurt. So the following night, hoping that things have settled down a little bit, I go back again. But this time, guys, I could literally smell the fires burning. The protests had increased. There were more people coming out. There was more anger, more fury. I had started watching the news, so I had a little bit of insight of how long it had been going on. But by the time I went back, it had completely intensified to another level. So in comparison to the natural vibe of D.C., D.C. is a beautiful place to be. It doesn't matter what time you go into the city, morning, noon, or night. It's just a great place to be. It has good energy. You can take a walk on the National Mall at 2 o'clock in the morning and you can feel that vibrance of the city. It just feels good. But I'm telling you guys, it is so disappointing to go and to visit the nation's capital and it's in an absolute uproar. So for those of you who have not been out protesting, you know, staying home and staying safe, I definitely want to high five you because it is not safe downtown, or wasn't safe. People, thank goodness, are peacefully protesting now. But I just wanted to share a little bit that feeling because, you know, how many of us are from the DMV? We are all one community here. D.C., Maryland, and Virginia is, I don't care what anybody says, I'm from the DMV. I was born in D.C., raised in Maryland, and I currently live in Virginia. And the majority of my roots are from Virginia. So I am from the DMV. And to have that feeling to go in my city, in our city, and see the turmoil and the chaos, I have to be honest. That's when I really decided to get up and make a change, because something that did not even occur in my city is disturbing my people in my city. So I just wanted to share that with you all. For those of you who have not experienced that yet, I think it's safe to go downtown during the day now if you just kind of want to get a bird's eye view and to see the diversity in the protest group. I have to be honest with you. The majority of these people are not black people. There are people downtown protesting for our kind that are not even black, which to me was a beautiful thing to see other races standing up for the injustice that we have been served for so long. And I mean, there are crowds of white people downtown speaking out on behalf of us.
And it really kind of gave me a true perspective on, I didn't go. I couldn't go. And she took the opportunity to do what she does. And when I had to experience what she was feeling, it was disturbing.
And I will be honest, at first, you know, you like I said, it was very unsettling to see our city in chaos. But once things were controlled, once, I can't really use the word controlled, things had toned down a bit. And, you know, people were literally just walking and wanted their voices to be heard, and they stopped lighting police cars on fire. It turned into what I will say was a beautiful thing to see, you know, to just ride through and witness people standing up, using their voice, their freedom of speech to fight for us.
And it was something that I – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry to interrupt you, Ms. Brooks. Just real quick before I go. Guys, right now in every part of the world, and I'll speak on the United States, all 50 states in the United States right now is protesting for change. This has never happened in the history since 50 states has been born. That has never happened. So in me saying that, I'm getting all of these text messages saying, hey, there's protests for change in all 50 states. I say this to say this. Now is the time for everybody that's on this phone, for everybody that's listening, for everybody that feels and that has that heart to say change needs to come, step up and take your rightful place in this movement and this change right now. Don't delay. When you have a platform, when you have all 50 states that is promoting change and is protesting for the social injustice, do not sit back and twiddle your fingers on social media. Get out, go and speak, go and teach, go and learn, and be part of the global movement for change that is happening right now. Every voice matters. Use it. Thank y'all. Have a good night. I have to go, but I wanted to share that before I got off this. Again, thank you so much, Ms. Brooks. Thank you so much, Ashley G, for having me on the show. Again, I'm humbled. I am honored. I'm thankful. And hopefully we can work soon in the future.
We absolutely will. And again, we thank you. And what he said was so profound, because the one thing that I felt when I saw everything that was unfolding, the one thought that I had was, it's 2 weeks from now, this is all going to be over. Are we going to forget this 2 weeks from now? Are we going to move on to something else? Is there something else that's going to be the bigger topic, the bigger focus of what we should be paying attention to? And when I asked myself that question, I said, I pray to God it's not. I pray that it's not. And I feel so bad for the families of all of those people that have been victims of the injustices that we have experienced over so many, many, many years. And it took what we saw clearly, clearly was true racial injustice. I don't want this to stop. I don't want this to be over in 2 weeks. I want this to continue until we experience change, until we know and understand that something different has to happen. We can't just walk away from this. And if we do, we're basically saying that we're disconnected. But the one question I want to ask every person that is listening to the show live tonight and will listen to it on the archive show, what if it's your son? What if it's your brother, your uncle, your friend, your family member that experiences what all of the injustices of our black people have experienced? See, we have a tendency to disconnect ourselves. If it's not at our front door, we see it, we sympathize for it. And those of us who are empathists, we feel a deep emotion for it, and it affects us. But that doesn't last for long because we move on to the next day and the next thing. And I don't want us to. I want to wake up every single day until change happens and feel the injustice. I want to be that person that says, today I got to do something that's different. I've got to educate someone. I've got to help someone. I got to reach out to someone for information on how I can make change. And it's not just about making change and not knowing how to do it or what to do. We have to find solutions. We have to call on the people that are in those positions. We have to stand on the steps of the Capitol, our local offices, our local politicians, our local communities, and say, hey, this is what we want to happen. And the one thing that I want to do before the show is over tonight is I want us to talk about solutions. I don't want us to just sit here and talk about our feelings. I want to talk about solutions. I want to know, what do you think we can do to find a solution that will lead us? And I know this is not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen overnight. But the one thing I want to do is stand firm and make sure that we find a way to make a change. So my six-year-old grandson that sees what's going on, we can't hide it from some of these kids. They're too intelligent. They know. They understand. What can we do to make sure that our small children or us that are older, our grandchildren, can look back and say, wow, what my grandmother or my grandfather or my uncle or my aunt or someone that is younger than me did so that I could have a different life today, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Now, anybody that's listening that has children, that has black lives in their family that they feel that matters, it's time to step up. We have to do something. And it's like Ashley said, we don't have to go down into the cities and carry signs and march and be arrested and to do the things that everybody else is doing. Those people, I applaud them. I do. I applaud the white people that are marching everywhere. I saw a video of in Tennessee, I believe it was, that there was sidewalks lined with white people and the black people were behind them. And their message basically when I saw it was, you've got to come through me before you get to them, because you have gotten to them enough and I dare you. Something has to change. Something has to change, and enough is enough. So I want to open up the line to see if there's anyone who has something that they would like to add, change that they feel is part of this movement that you know, I believe we're in the position for, the perfect position for. It's unfortunate that it had to be the way that it is, but it's time for change. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to add?
I just want to piggyback off of Ashley. As our family here knows, I live part-time in D.C. On 14th Street. Going back and forth from my home in Maryland and, you know, my part-time home in D.C. the past couple of days, I've seen the transition from what looks like a typical business day in the city to looking like a boarded up ghost town. Saturday night, my partner and I had, you know, been out for the day. We had been out for a while due to all of this COVID stuff. But, you know, on the way home around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, we were coming up 14th Street, and the whole way home, once we hit the city, it was like 3 police cars coming, 2 more coming, 5 at a time, 1 at a time. It was just like randomly. They would disappear, and we didn't know where they were going until we got into the city. And what looked like they might have been going for the Trump Hotel when it was really further up is where the protesters were. They were in Center City. They were in Franklin Park. They're everywhere. And again, I'm always the kind of neutral person in this. For me, it's hurting more because the city looks horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. Yeah. I used to work at where the Eden Hotel is now on 12th and K in D.C. I used to be the bar manager there before it became that hotel back in 2012. So for me to see an area where I traveled every day to and from work and made my second home look like, I don't know. It's starting to look like the projects in the city. Boarded up. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Even the 7-Eleven next door to our apartment building, they're boarded up. And we go there almost every other day just to grab a quick snack for the night, you know, and now we can't even do that. So it's like, again, I understand the frustration too, but personally, I feel like all of this looting and burning and people should not have to put boards on their windows when they leave their business at night or any time. Nobody should ever have to do that, because what's going to happen is the people who own these businesses, they probably feel the same way you do, but you don't know that because you're burning their stuff down, and now they have to take the time out of what they would like to do to help the protesters and to help get their point across. They have to lose that energy and put it towards fixing their business, which is their source of income for their family and their household.
Well, that's an interesting perspective, because you're right.
And for me personally, I don't care if it's a black-owned, white-owned, Asian-owned, whatever it is. It's a business owned by a human being. You shop at these stores. You're supporting them. So why are you burning them down now? Black, white, purple, green, or blue. You support it. So why are you burning it down now? Where are you going to go when you need your medications from CVS Pharmacy that's burned down on 15th Street? Now you can't go there to get what you need, along with millions of other people. There's a better way to do this, people. And I'm not one to speak on stuff like this on a public forum, but today I am, because I got into the mood. And you know how I get, Shelly, but
I know.
It's saddening. It's saddening. And my mother asked me a question before I left the house today. She says, you know, if you're out and about or at a club or something, hanging out with your friends or whatever else, and someone of law enforcement authority walks up to you and says, hey, can I see your ID? She said, well, how do you handle that?
Mm.
And I told her, I said, my response is always, hey, officer, how you doing? Well, you know, it's something, I don't have a problem showing you, you know, my identification, but, you know, if there's something wrong to the reason why you're asking me for this, you have the right to say that. You don't have to jump off at the officer with a fucking attitude, excuse me. You don't have to do that. They can come at you no matter what. How you come back to them is what's going to save you in the end.
You're absolutely right.
Things can get escalated higher than that. And yes, there are those human beings in a uniform who don't always do things the way we would like for them to be done. I don't like using the word should be because that's a touchy subject, but
yeah,
it's just a better way to do it, you know? Yeah.
I totally agree with you, and I think we're all just kind of all over the place with our emotions. But going back to the protesting and the marching and the rioting, I just want Ashley to take a minute to, because she did some research, because, you know, she just kind of went to her place of education, which is what we all need to do, which is what I did with certain things and came up with the profound knowledge of certain things. But Ashley, can you take a few minutes to just kind of give us an insight on the differences and what we have been seeing, the protesting, marching, the different aspects of the actions that we have seen over the last few days?
All right, everyone. First and foremost, I'm going to encourage you all to go to Wikipedia.org and read exactly what it means to protest. Now, I'm not saying this in a demeaning manner, like you don't know and I'm getting ready to school you on something that you should have learned so long ago. But sometimes when you go back and you actually redefine what something means, you have a better understanding. And unfortunately, we have only been exposed to the violent side of protesting. Protesting is an amazing way to get your point across. Absolutely amazing way. And there's so many different forms of protesting that I don't think are being actually done. And my reason for doing this research is so, you know, we can start doing something about it. We're not going to keep talking about it. We are going to do something. So in my research, I realized that holding a vigil is a form of protesting. Yes, this is something that we've done before, holding a candlelight vigil, but that is a form of protesting. Marching, basically moving from one location to the next, is a form of protesting, and it does not have to be violent. When you have a mass amount of people moving from one place to the next, whatever you are moving for is going to be heard. Rallying and conducting a demonstration, which sometimes is referenced as a march or a picket line. But throughout this, the definition is the reference to speeches, speakers, singing, preaching, often verified by indication of sound equipment of PA and sometimes by platform stage. Ordinarily will include worship services, speeches, and briefings. Now, from what we've been seeing on the news, I don't think anybody is singing or giving any type of motivational speeches outside of what the gentleman that our special guest tonight, Mr. Curtis Hayes, I don't think that we have been seeing much of a motivational change or a motivational or inspirational type of demonstration or rally going on. You may have one person in the midst of this group of people that's giving a motivational speech, but the entire group is not there in one accord for a peaceful purpose. But then you have motorcades where you literally get in your car and you just drive. And you're beeping your horn or you're playing music. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I would have loved to see my senior citizen crew get in their cars and turn on James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud, and ride up and down Constitution or Independence Avenue. That would have definitely spoke volumes versus everybody rioting, because that's what that is when you are being violent. A riot is defined as a large-scale 50 or more people who use violence by instigators against persons, property, police, or buildings separately in combination lasting several hours. So we have not been seeing rallies and demonstrations or vigils, or you even have boycotting, which is a form of protesting. Press conferences can be a form of protesting, which is all you're doing is reporting on the activity that's going on that you're protesting against. But did you know, and this is my favorite form of protesting, and if we can do this, we're going to make an impact. Did you know that passing out information, which is called information distribution, and all it is doing is gathering to teach, to inform people on the reasons why you are protesting, and you are actually having a dialogue in regards to what you can do to stop the problem. So I know that this seems like, you know, I've heard this before. I know what a motorcade is. I know what a vigil is. But they, guys, these are all different forms and definitions of protesting. So I'm encouraging you all to take your own time to Wikipedia protest, what that actually means, and find your way of fitting in. And I hope it's not attack or we got other definitions on here, strike or slow down. Don't go on a strike, because see what a strike is defined as, you quit your job and you just don't go to work no more. You get what I'm saying? We've all seen these types of ways of protesting become effective. People will hear your voice, but we have to find the most effective way and the least violent way to get our voice heard and to get our point across.
That's really good information, because I think a lot of times we hear the words protest, riot, and we don't understand the difference between the two. So thank you so much for sharing that information with us. And also with the passing out information, that is so huge. I mean, let's think about it. That's how a lot of people are informed about political information, just social changes, economic changes in neighborhoods, just all kinds of things that we receive. I mean, passing out information is the same as receiving a flyer for the grocery store sale in your neighborhood. It's passing out information. How would you know if you didn't have that information to be able to, you know, see it and understand what's changing and what's going on? We have one caller who is in the red room that would like to speak. Caller, thank you for joining us. I'm going to unmute your line. The last four numbers of your call is 1763. Welcome to the red room. Please let us know what you'd like to share.
Oh, thank you for having me and inviting me again to participate, to listen in and learn, and to commune with, sit in community with like-minded individuals. Now, what I'm about to say may sound a bit controversial, so I'll apologize ahead. I hope I do not offend anyone. But in reflecting on the last week of activities that has plagued this nation, it took me back to a place where I believe America has never atoned for its original sin. And what we see in our streets, as depicted on our television screens, is like having a pressure cooker on the stove on low. You know, and the pressure keeps building in there, and then someone walks in one day and just turns the dial and lets the steam out. And that steam has spilled out into the streets in real time, and it's not just in the U.S. Someone earlier said 50 states. It's also internationally. It is, in my view, a cry that has been stifled. We should not have today after Tamir Rice. I would think that the execution of Tamir Rice should have been the red line. But then we had Michael Brown, and the list goes on and on. And it brought me back to one of my favorite political theorists, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who spoke about the general will, which is the will of all. And in his discourse, he said, the general will is the will of all that we all agree to. We give tacit consent to this agreement that is not written in black and white, but it is written in morality. It is found in ethics. And it is by virtue of you being a citizen resident of a state that you appeal to the general will. And he said there are those among us who would not adhere to the general will. And what should we do? He said we should force them to be free. And that means is we should let our voices be heard. Because there would come a time when we must stand up for rights. And because that steam has been condensed and contained for so long, it has spilled out in a way that, you know, I've heard people speak this evening about their favorite stores and their favorite place to work and different things. And I feel that and I hear that. This should never happen in the greatest country in the world. But we have suffocated the voice. We have seen the blood of black men, women, and children run in this street. And we keep asking ourselves, when will this end? And in conclusion, I would think, and this is my solution to what we are currently experiencing and witnessing in real time, is to vote. If you care about your grandchildren, about your children, about future generations, if you care about this country, if you care about this cause, if you care about this moment now, vote. We need to have elected officials put in place who would want to listen, but most of all, we need to hold them accountable.
Mm.
Accountable to us for the oath that they took. They took an oath to protect us, to respect us. And until the day that we hold them accountable, we will continue to have, as Ashley so articulately outlined, what is not test but riot. Because when people refuse to listen to you, sometimes you have to shout. And that's my contribution this evening. Sorry.
That's interesting. Thank you, caller, because that's the same response that I heard from some people that I had discussions with, and I listened to some interviews, and they were saying that the people that are rioting, that's the only way they know how to protest because they don't know another way. And I had to listen to that and say to myself, okay, let me try to understand the mindset, because I always try to understand the mindset of a person that's different from mine. And people disagree with my opinions, and I don't agree with theirs, but the one thing I do is try to understand, what are you thinking, and how did you get to that mindset? And I heard one of the CNN reporters say, I understand the anger, I just don't understand the action. It does not mean that I'm judging it. It's just I need an understanding of it. And I think that's the part that a lot of us, we separate ourselves as Black people and say, oh, that's just wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. But again, I'll say it's not just us Black people that's breaking into the Louis Vuitton stores and the Targets and the grocery stores and the different places in these areas. What they want to show you is it's the Black people. So it's not, you're right. There's a mindset that we have to try to understand and not judge. And I think that is just all part of the divide in the movement that we are all part of right now. So I thank you for sharing that. I want to ask you a couple of legal questions because I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I don't know who you are, because I do. And I appreciate you calling in tonight. And I know that I will say that you and I have a lot of work to do. I appreciate you already saying in advance that you're going to work with us to help us in that cause. So I'm going to just step away just a few minutes. And we're going to get back to the legal questions, because there's a few things that I want to say that I feel are solutions, which is going to require legal expertise. So does anybody have any other comments that they'd like to share from our last caller's powerful information, which I think is great? First and foremost, you got to go vote. I'm just saying, if you are protesting, if you are speaking out, if you are feeling anything for what has happened to our country and our people, if you don't go out and vote, you're just basically saying, in my personal opinion, and this is just my opinion, I don't care. Plain and simple. If you don't do something, and I know, and I'm going to say this, and I don't want it to sound like there are people that could possibly not be able to vote. There are some people that are no longer able to vote. And this is what makes me angry. And I really didn't intend to go down this path, but I'm going to. There are some people that have been wrongfully convicted of crimes. Black people that have been wrongfully convicted of crimes, that the same crime that they were charged with, that they can no longer vote. Someone else could have possibly been charged with the same crime or not charged, but they can vote. So for the Black people that can't vote, please know and understand, I know that there's a reason. And it disheartens me that for those people that have served their time, or they didn't have to serve any time, but now they have that blemish on their record that they cannot walk up to a poll and say, this is who I choose to be the leaders in the free country that I'm supposed to live in. Just because they were Black, they got held to a higher standard than white people. So when I say, if you're sitting back and you're not doing anything, or if you can't do anything else, go vote. I'm not saying that to those people, because I understand, but there's still got to be a better way, and find a way for you to use your voice, even if it cannot be on a ballot. Find a way to use your vote to speak against the injustices against our Black people in this country. So does anybody have anything else that they want to add right now before I go into the few minutes that I want to talk about solutions?
Okay. I want to discuss solutions, because I'm a very solutions-oriented person. So there are just a couple of things that I want to talk about, and I know it's going to require just not me speaking it, but work with other people to help get to that direction of making sure that it can happen. And that is, we have to have police reform. There has to be police reform. And one of the things that I did a video the other night, and
I talked about was how we have to hold police officers accountable for the same crimes that civilians, when you're not behind the blue shield, when you don't have to follow the blue code, the same crimes that those people can be charged with, a police officer is not exempt. And I'm not saying that I'm against the blue. I will never say that. I'm against the blue that hides behind the shield. That's who I'm against. And I call out every single one, every single police officer that makes you, that feel, that you feel like you are exempt, you're above the law. I want you to know at some point we are going to come for you behind the shield with police reform. You will no longer at some point be able to use your uniform to do the diabolical things that you have done, the injustices that you have committed against Black people and minorities. Police reform is what is needed to do that. And caller, I know that from a legal perspective, you're not going to sit down and figure out, I know you're going to be able to lead me and guide me to that process of how we can start the motion for that. Like I said, none of the things that we're talking about tonight is going to happen overnight. Next week, next month, next year, it may not change, but I'm looking for change for our future generations. The second thing that I want to talk about that we need change with is the low level. And when I say low level, I don't mean political level. I mean the everyday, average, racist, white person that feels it's okay to pull the Black card for their benefit. Reform, changes in policy, changes in laws are going to come for you. Because there is no reason that in this world right now in 2020 that a white person should be able to pick up the phone and dial 911 and make a phone call and just simply say because some Black person irritated them, they can claim that they're being threatened. They can claim that you don't belong here. When you call the police and you're reporting a crime, that's perjury. Because see, if I have to testify in court for something and you find out I lied, you can charge me with perjury. And that's a misdemeanor or it's a felony. And the time served could be up to 5 years. Legal expert on the call tonight, if I'm wrong about that, please correct me. But I did do some online research, but I know perjury is a crime. There are certain reforms that we have to find a way to change so that our grandchildren, that our future generations will no longer have to experience. So I'm not one to just talk about it. I'm one to do something about it. But I'm asking anyone who has the connections of people that has the knowledge and the know-how to get these things done, let's get it started. We got to start somewhere. Because if we don't start, there won't be a finish. Not for the things that we believe in. So that's basically, you know, my whole point for tonight. It was for us to talk about, you know, what we're going through, what the world is going through. I just want us to be able to have an opportunity to understand that this is not going to go away this week. It's not going to go away next week. And I think it's enough people out there that are standing up and saying, this was the last straw. Because if you have a Black son, a Black family member, anybody Black that you love,
and you looked into the face of that man that laid on the ground and cried out for his deceased mother, and you can walk away and feel like you're disconnected from this, your heart is dead. And you're selfish. And you think in the back of your mind, that couldn't happen to me. But as long as you are black and living in America, it can happen to you. So my call to action is find a way, somehow, some way, to make a change. We have to. Is there anybody that has something that they want to say? I think we're gonna close the show a little early tonight. I'm gonna talk first Asher, first Samaj, Toya, and we're gonna go in rotation. Samaj, Toya, Ashley G. I don't have anything else that I need to say, and then we're just going to close the show. So, Samaj, do you have anything that you want to add, and then we'll go to Toya?
I do. So, a longtime high school friend of mine who I consider a very, very close friend and assistant to me, I just saw the post, but she actually took my nephew out to protest with her. He is 6 years old. Now, during the show, I was scrolling through my timeline as I typically do, you know, but I multitask. And I saw the post, and when I saw it, I was proud, because here we have a 6-year-old little boy who is half Asian and half African American. Well, I'm sorry, he's Asian and African American. That's his background from his parents. He's out here protesting himself, a 6-year-old. And somebody had the nerve to criticize my sister for having him out there at risk. And her response to her post was, "My son is at risk because he is a black man every day." And I said to her, I said, "You're not doing anything wrong. He wants to be there because he's awake at 6 years old." When people who are 50 years old are even standing out there, who the fuck are you to criticize anybody? Don't criticize a mother whose parents and grandparents went through the same things that we're dealing with right now, and who has a 6-year-old who is awake in his own mind and understands what's happening right now, and who is scared for his own life and his generation, and who wants to make a difference for his generation.
Wow.
Who are you to criticize anybody? Fuck you. Excuse me.
No, don't. No, I mean, that's real. And, you know, one of the things that I had to have a conversation with my daughter about was, do you hide this from Christian? Do you hide this from him and not let him be exposed to the full impact and experience of what we are all going through? Does he know what happened? And it's like, when you start hiding things from children, they get older and they don't understand it. So we've had conversations with him and let him speak. We've not, you know, kind of gone into details or anything like that, but from a 6-year-old perspective, he understands. He understands. And the crazy thing about it is, he goes to a school when school was open where these children didn't even see color. You took him downtown and took a picture. It's on your Facebook page of just kind of explain what it felt like for him in that moment with the kid that was there.
I mean, I went downtown the other day, of course, and during the middle of the day, they were still rallying and protesting. And I was sitting in front of the Capitol doing a video. And there was this white family that walked up, European family. I don't know where they were from. But they weren't black, bottom line. And the kids just started playing. I mean, they, you know, throwing rocks in the water. And I'm sitting there, and as I'm actually talking about this, these kids jump in front of me recording and start playing. What a better time to show and to prove my point. These kids do not see color. And I'm going to say this again for those that are listening to this show. I'm going to keep speaking this into existence. This is not a joke or a test. I mean every word I'm getting ready to say. Racism, hatred, it's going to die. It is something that is filthy and that is being taught. Racism is taught. You are taught to hate that person. But these kids and this upcoming generation, number one, we're going to stop them from learning that because they do not see color.
They don't.
Absolutely don't. And what a coincidence, because their parents were just downtown. They were sitting over there with a whole white family, bless their hearts, with a Black Lives Matter sign. Yep, you sure can play with my kids.
And that's the thing. We have to understand that there are people who truly care about our cause that aren't black. But we have the whole look at the white race and say, I question you. We shouldn't question them all. Yeah, we should question some of them, but we have to look at the people who are truly standing out there to support our cause. They understand our injustices. They understand it to the surface level. They can never understand it. They can never understand it. I had a conversation with a coworker, and she's a beautifully spirited white woman, and she just came up to me on Monday and said, Shelley, I'm just so confused right now about everything that's going on over the weekend. And I looked at her and I'm thinking it's a work conversation. I said, what happened? She said, I don't even know how to feel, because I feel the pain that I feel for everything that's going on, but it can nowhere compare to what I know you've been experiencing over the weekend. And she had tears in her eyes. She had tears in her eyes as she was speaking to me. So we can't discredit and think that all white people are evil. They are not. You just have to see where their motives are and what their intentions are. And I think we see that from the white people that have been rallying in all these different cities across the country and in other countries. This is confusing for all of us. It is totally confusing for all of us. But we still have to keep moving forward with this with this change in a way that works best for us. Let our voices be heard. Use whatever resources we have to make change. And find a way to make sure that this place that we are right now will not be something we look back in history and say, oh, it was powerful. But, nothing happened. We can't do that. We just can't. So I want to open up the line to a caller who has been in our chat room that has something that they want to say. Thank you, caller, for listening to the Red Room. The last four numbers of your call is 1169. Welcome to the Red Room.
Welcome. Welcome to you and to everyone else in attendance here. This is my first time catching your show, but what I want to offer is a solution, or start a solution. There are two, but I want to speak on one here. When I watch the news media, the individuals that I see missing or being interviewed are the state legislatures, the ones who actually make the laws, who write the policies that give authority and a way for the police officers to do what they do. They also write the laws and policies that permit the prosecutors to prosecute the police. So I haven't seen them speaking on TV. I haven't heard any of, like, the protesters or the normal people calling for the heads of the state legislatures, because kind of like everything starts with them. They're going to write laws that allow the police, laws and policies that allow the police to do what they do. Then the police chiefs, the prosecutors or state attorney generals, they're going to follow the law.
Woo, you just, oh my gosh, you just spoke so much power into the message that I have been standing on, and it's about, it has to start with us. But again, like you said, it has to be the mindset of the people that are elected into these positions. And it comes down to, yes, we do need to vote. But when we vote, we have to find a way to hold these people accountable for the vote that we have given them. And you're right. How many of them have been out there protesting? I haven't seen them.
They're hiding. They are. I think they're hiding because they know they have the power, the legislatures, to change the situation overnight. So I think what the people of each state needs to do is to confront their state legislatures, find out who is willing to make the changes or vote a certain way, and get something from them in writing of how they would vote on a particular issue, and then present it to the rest of the people so that they'll know, okay, this person, he's not for police reform. This person is. So I mean, you could make it a single issue and just get somebody out of office.
Absolutely. And you know what? The thing of it is, when these politicians stand on a certain platform, we hear the overall message. They want to do this. They want to do this for health insurance. They want to do this for your local communities. But they never speak on what they want to do to change police reform. They don't talk about that. And I think it's a perfect opportunity for us to hold these elected officials, these people who are running for these state elected positions, and hold them accountable for answering the questions that we really have.
Yeah.
Somebody
in the legislature is either not allowing the issue to come to the floor to vote on, and whoever that is needs to be identified and made public.
Absolutely. It's time to call them out.
Exactly.
It's time.
Exactly. Bottom line. Oh. And,
caller,
I
so appreciate the information that you've given to us. I want to, like I said, I'm looking for solutions. I'm looking for like-minded people that are looking for solutions. I have, if you would, and I am only, the co-host of the show are only able to see the chat room. If you would mind sharing your information and offline, I would love to be able to connect with you and see if there's something that you would like to do. I don't know what area you live in or where you're from. I don't even know who you are, because of course you started out in the chat room with us and came on live to the show. So if you would be interested in sharing your information in the chat room, I'd love to stay connected with you and see how we can work together for solutions, because that's what the show is about. It's finding solutions. Absolutely finding solutions.
I'll drop my email in the chat room, and we can start there.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
I am so glad that we had this show tonight, because I hope that it has opened up people's minds. We're going to share the Red Room Radio page, the show from tonight, I am so going to start a call to action and just figure out, like I said, none of this is going to happen overnight. But I'm going to personally say, me, Shelley L. Brooks, I have been so disconnected from the change that we've needed. I mean, I have my little mini soapbox, and that's where, you know, I say, oh, we need to do this and we need to do that. But I'm tired of the mini soapbox. I think we should all be tired of the mini soapbox, because I have not a mini son, not a mini grandson. I have a black son. I have a son who, when I saw that video of George Floyd, it broke my spirit. And all of my friends who have black sons, I saw my son there. I saw my friend's sons there. And I said, at some point, we got to do something different, because I don't want a phone call. I don't want a phone call from a friend whose son played with mine. I don't want to make that phone call about my son to one of my friends. I have a black daughter. I have black friends who have daughters and children. I don't want any of us to have to make that call, because what is happening now has now reached into our own personal circles. And if we don't want that to happen, we have to do something to stop it from happening. We have to. And again, like I said, if we sit back and do nothing, then we are basically saying that we feel that we are exempt from what we see, just like the police officers feel like they are exempt from what they do. And that's how I'm going to end what I have to say for the show tonight. James, can you close us out? Let everybody know how they can contact us. Stay in touch with us.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight, as always. You can always reach out to us on Facebook and Instagram at The Red Room Radio. We're here each and every Tuesday, 8 p.m., theredroomradio.com. Look out for more information coming up soon as to what's going on with the radio, Red Room Radio, and your latest news regarding what's going on in our world today. That's the way to sum it up. Thank everybody for tuning in.
All right, everyone. Good night. We thank you for another great show. We will see you next week. Not sure what the show conversation is going to be about, but we will be here. Love you all. Stay safe. And we'll see you next week in the Red Room.
Peace.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.